It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Happy Friday to each and every one of you. Thank you for joining us. I greatly appreciate you. Today, strive for excellence. You have a purpose. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You were made for this time. We live in interesting times, and I get to work with a great team. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Friday, producer Steve.
Did you say Friday?
I said Friday.
That just doesn't seem possible.
And I know you love your weekends. And I'm not going to say what it is, but I may have a surprise for you this weekend.
Oh, geez.
So stay tuned on that one. You can actually, I appreciate all of you who are supporting us as well. We're an independent voice, and you can go to my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. Encourage your friends to sign up for that weekly newsletter as well, because we'll show all of our upcoming guests. We're getting back into our podcasts. We recorded one yesterday with Lyle Laverty. He had been with the Department of the Interior with Fish and Wildlife, and he's an expert on our outdoors, and we had a very important conversation about the intensity of these forest fires. And I submit to you that he said one of the things, fire has three components. One of them is fuel, another is temperature, and the other is oxygen. And if you can mitigate one of those, it can reduce the potential for forest fires or reduce the intensity. I submit to you, we have mismanaged our forests for many, many years. Environmentalists have said, you can't touch the forest. That dead tree, you can't touch that dead tree until that dead tree falls over. We're not going to manage the brush underneath, get all that dry stuff. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out if you get a strike of lightning or human error that we're going to have a problem, Steve.
I was thinking the very same thing about rocket science. Over the last 20 years, just driving up by in the Grand Lake area. Now, certainly a lot of mitigation has occurred since. But when the pine beetle first hit, entire mountainsides were brown. And it's like, again, a rocket scientist to figure out what happens if the flame gets in there?
And I know for sure that there were people that went to government and said, hey, we can figure out a way to mitigate this, to take this pine beetle damaged trees, and we can actually cut them and market them and clean that up for you. And then the government said, we want you to pay us to do that. And they're like, well, we can't make that work. And so what happened is they just left it. And now we see these intense fires. There will always be forest fires, but they do not have to be that intense. And Patrick Moore had said when we had him on earlier, was that just Monday? I'm losing track here. And he was one of the co-founders of Greenpeace, but he is the sensible environmentalist now. And he said that the Native Americans managed their forests, that earlier in the spring when it was wet, that they would do controlled burns. And so they did not have as intense fires. But the other thing, if you sign up for my weekly newsletter, is you also get first look at our op-eds. And in studio with me is author Alan Thomas. Alan, it's great to have you here.
It's great to be here, Kim.
And you know what? You have a fan club. There are people that reach out and they say, I can't wait to hear what Alan has to say. The conversations are so good.
Oh, well, that's very exciting.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting again. You always push me because I was a little cranky about these Olympians that were not honoring our flag. And you have written a piece. It's going to be in the newsletter this week and then on my website. And the title of it is A Woke Olympian Can Only Be a Free Olympian. And we'll talk about that in segments 3 and 4.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Me too. Let's see here. America's Veteran Stories. Steve, we recorded the one for this Sunday. It's on at 3 o'clock and 10 o'clock. with John Riff. And he was born in 1932, so he's 89, or it will be 89 this year. And Steve, I don't know if you caught this part of this, but he said to me, maybe it was after the interview, he said, "Nobody has ever asked me all these questions. I've never told this story like this." Do you realize how important this is, Steve?
I think I would have burst by now, being a part of something like that. But it's the Chosen Reservoir, right?
Yeah, he was at the Chosen Reservoir, which was, there's three marine battles. And Alan, you may know this. I actually just learned this. There's three really famous marine battles. And one is Belle Wood in World War One, Iwo Jima in World War II, and the Chosen Reservoir in the Korean War. And the temperatures, it was fought, I think, end of November, first part of December, and the temperatures got well below 20 below, and they were in the elements. And I know that a number of the guys ended up having, in fact, I was talking to a new acquaintance, and she said her father was part of the Rangers at Chosen Reservoir, and she's black. And she said that his feet, he had suffered frostbite. She said, even though we're black, his feet were black. You could tell that his feet had been frozen at the Chosen Reservoir. And there was a lot of that. In fact, we'd done an interview with a guy who said that when they took their boots off, one of his colleagues, I guess they had been pulled out of the battle, and they were in medical care, and they pulled his boot off, and the bottom of the skin came off the bottom of his foot. So, you know, I think it's important that we understand the sacrifice that people have given to stand against evil and tyranny. They were standing against socialists and communists and Marxists at that time. So I think it's really important. That's why we do the show, and a fascinating interview with John Riff, and that will be on Sunday at 3 and 10. I can hear you gasp, Alan.
I mean, you know, they're so heroic, and you probably know when you talk to most of these gentlemen and most of the people who have served our country, they wouldn't say they're heroes. They're just saying, you know, I've done my duty. But, you know, it's we need to hold them in that heroic reverence, because the things that they've gone through and the things that they've done for us and for our freedoms and for our kids, I mean, it's a debt that we just can't pay them back.
We are in this course of human events, though. We have our own thing to step into right now. To that point, though, this whole America's Veterans story started because of this trip that I was just blessed to get to take in 2016 with the group that accompanied 40-Day veterans back to Normandy, France, for the 73rd anniversary of the D-Day landings. We're standing there at Normandy Cemetery, and Frank DeVita was he was 17 when he joined the Coast Guard. He might have been 17 at Normandy, I'm not quite sure, but he was young. And, you know, somebody looked at him and said, "Frank, you are such a hero." And he looked out to the cemetery and he said, "I'm not the hero." He said, "Those guys are the heroes. And he said, "They never had the opportunity to marry, to have children. They gave that all up." And it just kind of took my breath away, Alan.
Yeah, I mean, as it should. And you know, it's kind of funny because throughout the Olympics, you hear about heroes and the Olympians. It's like, no, they're role models. You know, our heroes are police officers, our soldiers, people who actually put their lives on the line.
To stand against evil and tyranny. And so we do stand on the shoulders of giants, and it's a great honor to get to do that show. And I get to work with a lot of really great sponsors. Before we go to break, this show and also America's Veterans Story show is brought to you by some great sponsors. And one of those is Castlegate Knife and Tool. It's owned by Hal and Linnea Van Herkey, and they are entrepreneurs. It's a great small business right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And Hal, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. I always enjoy the opportunity to be on.
Well, and I hear from so many listeners how much they appreciate your perspective on things. So I greatly appreciate that. They're great conversations. And I did go out to your knife sharpening event and got one of my knives sharpened. And I have said I need to remember which knife that is so that I don't cut my finger when I'm cooking now.
Yeah, we make sure they're sharp when they leave.
That's for sure.
You know, theoretically, you're more likely to cut yourself with a dull knife.
Oh,
you're forcing it too much. That's what I hear anyway.
Okay. I don't really want to do a scientific experiment on that. We'll just keep it. I like all my digits here. So, hey, you have a lot of different products, and you have a line of watches. Tell me about that.
Yeah, our watch line is, you know, kind of part of the bigger picture of what we say the and tool part, knives and tools, is that we just really focus on promoting and supporting American-made watches or companies that are trying to bring more and more U.S. content into their watches. So right now we carry three different brands, R-Page watches, Mitchell timepieces, and Minuteman watches, all of which are at R-Page are all made in the U.S. And then at a minimum, we've got people who are using U.S. movements and U.S. assembly. So next week is going to be a big promotion on watches, especially on the really beautiful R-Page watches, which are made from antique pocket watch movements and then modernized individually. Each one is unique. So they really are statement timepieces. So we'll be doing some promotions on our website and with Richard Page on those watches. So really looking forward to it.
Now, are these watches primarily for like sportsmen, or are they ladies' watches? Or tell me about that.
Yes, sure. So the entry level ones, which are the Minuteman ones, are more basic, battery operated. Battery run watches, and then they go all the way up to very complex mechanical watches, which are the R-Page ones. And the R-Page ones are very much dress quality, jewelry quality watches that are not necessarily aimed at sportsmen, but okay. Just because we have a good relationship with Richard and promoting his business.
Okay. And do you have those on your website as well?
Yeah, they're all. We're actually putting the finishing touches up right now. Just got off the phone with the marketing team. So we'll be doing, they're on, and we're just putting some of the finishing touches on the descriptions, et cetera.
Very, very cool. Well, that is very exciting. And you said next week you'll be focusing some specials on that. Is that right?
Yeah. We're going to wait till everybody checks it out online at the website. It's all on the website for this one, not in the store. So check out the website to see what specials we're running, et cetera. And, one of the things we're doing is each one of the R-Page watches is going to have a special discount and promotion from Richard rotating through the different collection that we have.
Awesome. And people can get that information where, Hal?
At www.castlegate.com. And we'll have information on the homepage.
Okay, great. And that is castlegate.com, castlegate.com. And Hal Van Herke, thank you so much. You are a great partner of both the shows.
Thank you very much, Kim.
And we'll be right back.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our all of our guests and that are coming up for the next week, as well as our most recent op-eds and podcasts, and sign up for our weekly newsletter there. I guess I said that. Must be a Friday here, Steve. Thrilled to have in studio with me Alan Thomas. Alan, your op-ed, A Woke Olympian Can Only Be a Free Olympian, will be in the newsletter this weekend, and then it will be on the website. We're going to talk about that in segments 3 and 4. As you know, my friends, we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And it's never compassionate to take other people's their rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood. That's what we're seeing happening now, is if you don't do this, then you won't have a job. And that is coercion, that is fear, that is taking people's livelihoods, that's force, and that is not okay. I was looking at emails just a moment ago, earlier, and one of our listeners had reached out to me regarding this this piece of legislation that was passed this year. It was around abortion, and the Democrats passed it, and it was Senate Bill 21-142. It's called Healthcare Access in Cases of Rape or Incest, sponsored by Senators Pedersen and Donovan and Representatives Carveo and McCluskey. They're all Democrats. It was signed by Governor Polis May 21, 2021, and it says here, in this legislation, every person has a right to privacy with respect to personal health decisions free from coercion or interference from the government. And the government is coercing and interfering with the employment of people between people and their employers. So right here, this last year, Governor Polis signed that into law, so that sure seems to me like people have an opportunity there to say, you can't fire me because this is the law. What do you think, Alan Thomas?
Well, it's the typical, they like to say things, but then they put caveats on what exactly it applies to, right?
Uh-huh.
It's not universal with progressives. They'll use it for one thing, but not another. Right. So
they, in fact, they don't treat everybody equally.
Right. I mean, that's how progressives work. They like to divide and conquer, and they're very effective at it.
They have been. That's why we need to unite around these ideas that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Producer Steve, I wanted to get over to you. You and I always do this pre-call, and that is, let's see here, from the Fox News reported this. That the Texas Tribune erroneously reports 5,800 children were hospitalized due to COVID in the first week of August, which is going to scare the living daylights out of parents out there. But then guess what? It wasn't during the first week, was it, Steve?
No, it was January through July is what they really meant to say. And that the figure applied to January through July.
And they said here that it was in the first week in August. And so they probably had to run a correction, but I bet it wasn't on the front page.
Well, what got me is that we like to think of Texas as this bastion of conservatism. And, you know, that's just the way the good old boys in Texas roll. Except for the very center of the state, Austin, is this
University of Texas.
Yeah, and the state capital is all this destructive, you know, liberalism. And guess where the Texas Tribune lives?
Would that be in Austin?
Yeah, it would.
Okay.
And you made the great point, which was, yeah, they put the error out there, but when the retraction comes, if it comes, who sees it?
Who sees it? And it's dishonest. We can make mistakes, certainly. And people are saying to me, yesterday somebody said, did you go to journalism school? And I said, well, actually, no. But when I was in high school, I wanted to be a journalist. And we had a really good journalism teacher. And the person I was talking to said, you really come at this as a journalist would. And I really took that as a compliment. Clearly, we give opinion. But if we get something wrong, we'll let you know that we got it wrong. But we're searching for truth. And that's what journalism is really supposed to do, is to search for truth, Alan.
Yeah, and, you know, this isn't surprising. You know, this happened to Florida a couple days ago, too, if you saw that.
I missed that.
You know, Biden went after Florida's rates, and DeSantis came out and said, no, the CDC number's wrong. They lumped several days' worth of COVID data into one day. And then they said, oh, look, Florida's cases are rising at a meteoric rate, you know. And he had to go back and forth with the CDC, and they still didn't completely bring that number all the way back down to the correct number it should have been on a daily basis. And, you know, this has happened since the beginning of the pandemic, you know.
It has.
Reporting numbers erroneously and then going, oh, whoops, here's the retraction, we'll bury it. But, you know, the clickbait headline is already there. People are already using it in their arguments against one another. And it's just sad to see, you know, journalism die, really. And you know, we've seen it on the conservative case for a while. I mean, President Trump definitely brought that out about unbiased journalism and unbiased mm-hmm. reporting. But now it's just important to know where you're getting your facts from, because mm-hmm. The bias is on both sides. And as long as you know where you're getting your information from, that's important to help you discern where to in your search for truth.
Well, Kim, I sent something to you and Patty. I think I did. Anyway, I sent so many things out. It was a picture of Hermann Göring sitting at the Nuremberg trial.
Yes, or you showed it to me yesterday.
Yeah, and the prosecutor, the interrogator asked him, how did you guys get the German people to do what you did? And his answer was rather simplistic. It was fear. So coming up to our time in history, or if it's the Texas Tribune or the CDC, as Alan just said, it's fear.
And that's probably why, I can't remember how many times, but throughout the Bible, we are told to do not fear. And I think in all this, there's the fear of the unknown. That's really, I think, what's very difficult. Mm-hmm. And those that are trying to manipulate our behavior are really using the fear of the unknown. And but if we continue to search for truth, just a little light of truth will start to take, start to shed light on this, and it grows and it grows and it grows. That's why we do this show. So let's go over here. The Western Journal reported, said, we've been hearing a lot about the Delta variant lately, and it's no surprise to see COVID-related fears flaring up again. Everyone's asking how this variant might affect them if they are unfortunate enough to catch it, with or without a vaccine. That's important to understand, or note, or natural antibodies already inside them. And it seems like the answers keep coming in a more confusing way each time. But it's important to note some other key info surrounding the coronavirus that has consumed nearly a year and a half of our lives, particularly the fatality rate we heard so much about in the past. It seems we're hearing less and less about it now than we did before. However, why is that? Our world and data is a good source for many of the COVID-related statistical needs, and basically from its graphs and adjustable variables, easy to interpret. And basically, the headline on this is that the COVID fatality rate hits the lowest level on record, despite the media hysteria over Delta. Let that sink in. Right? And there is COVID. We do want to acknowledge that COVID does exist, and it's not fun if you get it. It's not fun for some people if they get it. For others, they are able to get through it rather easily. It just depends. It affects people differently. But when we see that they're using this fear again on this Delta variant, and Steve, when you and I were talking on our pre-call, I said, how do we know for sure that there's a Delta variant? Have they changed this testing so much that they're able to test for this Delta variant? I find that a little bit hard to believe. And then the fact that we are seeing people that have gotten the vaccine are getting COVID, which means the efficacy rate is the COVID vaccine may not be that great, but yet you see all this coercion and force to get people to get this vaccine. Something isn't matching up, Steve.
Well, one of the things that's giving them, the people who are trying to push this pandemic, the basic education level of the masses is on the rise. We've learned to understand things like comorbidities. And yeah, the virus is real. And yes, certain groups of people with certain maladies have died. That's fact. But some of these other things that are going on, and like I said to you in the pre-call, the fact that vaccinated people are getting the Delta variant, that was a blow to the powers that be. That was quite a blow. It's like, oh my gosh, what do we do now?
But my point is, Steve, is how are they testing for the Delta variant? If they had this COVID test and they're testing for this, how are they now testing for this over here? I'm not sure that it matches up. Now, I think it's one of those, stay tuned. And once we get through the Delta variant, then are we going to have the next variant?
Well, I saw a great meme. You know, I love the memes. And it says, let them have their Delta variant, you know, in terms of Greek letters. We have the Alpha and Omega.
Oh.
I like that.
I like that, too. Let's ask Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group if he likes that. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Kim.
You know, all that's just Greek to me, Lauren.
I know. And I mean, I just called in, obviously, and, you know, I'm dealing with this. I've got a college-age daughter that, you know, the college is wanting to mandate the vaccine, and we're dealing with this on our end. So it's hitting everybody.
Lauren, I really am encouraging at this particular point. When I was going through emails earlier today, I've had a listener that had reached out and said that it looks like his employer is going to try to force everyone to get the vaccine. And he said, it looks like I may not have a job in 30 days. But I had another friend that her employer, I guess she's a contractor with him, was going to mandate that everybody get that. And she said, well, I guess I'm going to have to quit. And they said, well, wait a minute. We don't mean that you have to get it. So I think what I really am encouraging people to say no. And for your daughter, I mean, this is certainly a family decision, but I'm thinking out loud here, Lauren, but I'm like, maybe people don't go to college that first year. Well, that starts to really affect their tuition dollars. And if people start to lose really great employees, then their businesses are not going to be as efficient, and their businesses may not be able to serve customers. And so I think as Americans, we have a right to say no to this. And again, I'm just thinking out loud. Lauren, your comments on that?
No, I agree with that. The lucky thing for us is that the school is offering for people that either medically get an exemption or for whatever reason, that they can just test while they're there, and the test is not the one that goes up your nose. It's not that invasive. It's more of like a saliva test, so that's probably what we'll end up doing.
Okay.
So that's a little bit more relieving. But I agree with you. I'm just kind of glad I work for myself and don't have to face a mandate.
Right. So
it is a tough decision.
Well, and that was one other thing I was thinking about Steve and I had this pre-call, is that one of the silver linings on this may be that it is going to create a whole new group of entrepreneurs, that if your employer fires you because you won't get the vaccine and you are a valued employee, maybe you go out and you start a business that competes against them. What do you think?
I think that would be a great opportunity. And I think you're right, though, Kim. I think you'll see some of these big companies. I think you've seen it a little bit in the airlines where they were going to make some mandates, and a couple of them, I think, I have to check my math here, but I thought a couple of them backed off and said they weren't going to do it, for passengers especially.
Well, so I think we need to say no. Alan Thomas, do you want to jump in this conversation with
Lauren? It was, you know, United had told all their employees to get it, and then Southwest, Delta, and I believe American all backed off because of the backlash from their employees saying, don't force us to do this. And so I definitely saw that as a great win of, you know, when enough workers get together, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of power in numbers, but only when we're not the silent majority, right? We have to say something and tell our employers, no, I don't want to do this. And guess what? 50 of my other buddies, we're not going to do it either.
And it changes things. And that's one of the things, Lauren, I feel like they really have worked to isolate us and think that we're all alone. And at the end of the show, I always say, you are not alone. And somebody reached out and said, that was so great to hear. But Lauren, great conversation. But let's talk a little bit about your business. You are a great sponsor of both of the shows, the Kim Munson Show and America's Veterans Stories as well. Interest rates still are low. I know housing prices are high in the metro area. But when we're looking at inflation, if you can lock in this low interest rate on your mortgage, that is at least a great step as we go through inflationary times, that you have that rate locked in.
100%. And we're seeing that a little bit this week. Rates, I always tell you, Kim, that rates bounce around sometimes on the daily. But, you know, we have the infrastructure bill finally passed, and so that looked like the market might flood with more money. So for about a day and a half, the rates bleeped up a little bit, but then people calmed down and realized that the Federal Reserve is still in there. They haven't tapered yet, so then they came right back. So we're still low, but you're right. We don't know where it's going to be in 6 months. And so I would absolutely recommend, you know, always getting things done and making sure you have it locked in and you can move forward without worrying.
I've never asked you this. Do you do second mortgages?
I usually, the answer is basically no, I don't. Because the reason is, Kim, is that you can get like an equity line at a local bank and they don't charge closing costs really. They're basically free.
Okay.
And so we don't really do them that way. I usually refer them out. But I can certainly talk to people about them and would be glad to.
Okay. And refinancing, I know that there's still people out there that could take advantage of that and get a lower rate. It'll save them money over the life of their loan. How can people reach you, Lorne Levy?
The best way is just call us at 303-880-8881.
That's 303-880-8881. And you and Karen Levine are going to be in studio co-hosting the show next Wednesday. And so we're going to be talking about home ownership and what the Fed is doing and what you think about, you know, this big infrastructure bill. And then now they want to come in with that $3.5 trillion other bill. Now I can't remember what they're calling it. But it's going to be a great conversation, Lauren. So have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Kim.
Okay, we're going to go to break. I cannot wait to get into this conversation with Alan Thomas. His op-ed, A Woke Olympian Can Only Be a Free Olympian, will be debuting in our newsletter on Sunday, and then we'll be on the website. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
God bless America.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. Sometimes, Steve, the bumper music that Charlie chooses takes my breath away, and I know you can tell I have a hard time coming back because I want to listen to it.
Well, maybe we just make a show of nothing but bumper music.
Maybe that's a good idea. Hey, wanted to mention, I have these great sponsors, and one of them is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations. That is Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. We're coming into the weekend, and they have happy hour specials. And these sound pretty good. Half off the following appetizers: beer cheese pretzels, 10 boneless wings, lots of tots, 12 buffalo shrimp, or fried pickles. So, great place to get together with friends. Kids eat free on Saturdays with the purchase of an adult entree. So, again, that's Hooters Restaurants. You go to my website and check my sponsors tab, and then click Hooters. It'll have all their specials there, and I greatly appreciate them for being longtime supporters of the show. And we normally do a quote, and we got into all these other things that we were talking about. And Alan, since we're talking about your piece regarding the Olympics, I thought, who should we quote? And Carl Lewis came to mind. So Frederick Carlton Lewis is an American former track and field athlete who won 9 Olympic gold medals, 1 Olympic silver medal, and 10 world championship medals, including 8 gold. His career spanned from 1979 to 1996, when he last won an Olympic event. He was born in 1961, and he said this: "I want to be remembered as a person who felt there was no limitation to what the human body and mind can do, and be the inspiration to lead people to do things they never hoped to do." Great quote, huh?
Great quote. And it's kind of funny because he used to be the most decorated track and field U.S. Olympian ever until this recent Tokyo Olympics, when Allyson Felix actually passed him.
Okay.
She now has 11 medals. And it's interesting, that quote, you know, in 2018, she was giving birth to her daughter and actually nearly died.
I did not know
and,
that.
And Nike goes in and says, you know, since you just had a baby, you're not going to be competing at the same level. So how about you take a contract worth 70% less? So she dropped Nike and started her own company to basically support these athletes like herself who are going through this. And then, you know, she was told after having a kid she would never be able to get up to the same level, and she comes to the Tokyo Olympics and passes Carl Lewis to be the most decorated U.S. track and field Olympian of all time. And that's why I love the Olympics. You know, these stories are so cool and inspiring and inspirational, you know. Even from other countries, there was a 46-year-old gymnast this year. And just for 46-year-old gymnast. So she's 46. And just for comparison, Simone Biles was called one of the grandmas on the U.S. team. I think she's 24, 26.
Okay.
And she's called the grandma of the team. And there's a 46-year-old gymnast Olympian. You know, it's just so inspirational. And that's why I love the Olympics. And coming into it, you know, there was a lot of talk about these woke Olympians and their protests and how we needed to boycott the Olympics. And it really put me in a weird state. You know, at first I was like, well, should I boycott the Olympics? You know, I love the Olympics. I love everything they represent. I love rooting for the USA. I love keeping track of the medal count and making sure that we're number one in that, and then number one in gold as well. You know, there's just this camaraderie you feel and this patriotism. And you know, I had to take a step back right before the Olympics and say, you know what, why should I protest the Olympics? You know, why should I let the relative few, you know, the Megan Rapinoe and the women's soccer team, or I forget the name of the shot putter who was upset at the national anthem that was played while she was on the stand. Why should I let them define the Olympics for me? You know, why should I let them stop me from watching these games? And then I took an even further step back and said, you know what does it look like to the world when we put these sort of athletes on the stage? Because I saw a lot of conservatives say, if you don't love the USA, you shouldn't wear our colors. You shouldn't compete for the USA.
I was one of those. I mean, I wasn't vocal about it, but I think just personally, that's where I was.
Yeah, and trust me, I'm very patriotic. I love, you know, when we play the national anthem before the show, that kind of gives me goosebumps, you know, seeing the sunrise over Denver and hearing the national anthem, you know. And I initially kind of thought the same thing, but then I thought, you know what? What does it look like to the world when we put athletes who disagree with our government, who are very vocal about it, and actually are propped up by many of our politicians? What does it look like to the world when we put them on the stage? And you know, there's a lot of people that say it makes us look weak, and I make the argument that it doesn't. It makes us look even stronger, because to take a step back, one other story that came out of this Olympics was there's a 24-year-old sprinter from Belarus, and she was put on a relay team, and she was very unhappy about it. So she goes on social media and criticizes her coaches. Well, Belarusian officials come to her room and tell her she needs to get on a flight to Minsk before her event, before she was going to run the 200-meter free event. And when she showed up to the Tokyo airport, she told Tokyo officials she was scared for her life because Lukashenko, sorry, I can't pronounce the names, but the Belarusian president is known as the last dictator in Europe. You know, he's detained reporters who criticize the government. You know, people get jailed and don't show up again. A pretty bad dude. So this sprinter said, I'm scared for my life. You know, she criticized her coaches, first of all, not her country, not the president, her coaches. And then she's whisked away to the airport. Luckily, Tokyo officials and the Olympic officials said, no, don't get on that flight. We'll protect you. And she defected to Poland, actually. And now she says she feels safe. Compare that to Carl Lewis, who criticized our 4x1 men's team and the coaching, just eviscerated them, said they did terrible. You know, in the qualifying heat, they didn't even make the finals. We were projected to win the gold. And you know, Carl Lewis, I don't think, is in any threat to his life, his safety, imprisonment. His family's fine. In fact, hopefully he spurs us on to change the coaching. And that's the example. You know, you have one athlete who criticizes our coaches and she's scared for her life. You have our athletes who are criticizing the government, our very culture, our very politicians, and they're competing on our team openly. And that's just such an amazing example of freedom, of what America stands for. You know, even though you may not like America, even though you disagree with the government or how people are treated, we're still willing to put you on a world stage to compete for us because you're at the top of your field. And that's just such a powerful moment to the world, because I was telling Steve before the show, can you imagine a Chinese athlete criticizing China's treatment of Uyghurs? Or can you imagine a Chinese Olympic athlete saying free Hong Kong? Because I certainly can't. I don't think they have that freedom to use their world platform to advocate for these ideas. I'd be very scared that when they went home, we would never hear from them again.
That is so interesting. So several things going through my mind here, Alan. And I think the first thing is I'm busy. I got a lot of things going on. And so I didn't take the time to watch the Olympics because I looked at that. I'm like, eh, never mind. And I'm realizing in doing so, I didn't even know this story about this woman that won 11 medals. I just wasn't even really paying attention. And I'm thinking, gosh, I missed that. And that's such a great story.
And that's kind of the other point I wanted to get at. You know, we have this relative few who were boycotting the U.S., you know, and this relative few. And we gave them such a spotlight. You know, they say any press is good press, right? I mean, Donald Trump certainly used that. He loved all the stories that were against him. But then we went and did the same thing. We talked so much about these relative few athletes out of a delegation of hundreds of athletes. And we missed all the stories of the people that were crying and wrapping themselves in the flag. And you know, there was a black wrestler, Tamra Mensah-Stock. You know, she said, I freaking love this country. You know, she was in tears. She was just ecstatic and wrapping herself in the flag. And she's going to use her winnings to buy her mom a food truck. Like, you know, such cool stories. But because we boycotted the Olympics over this relative few, we missed out on all these wonderful stories and wonderful athletes who love our country, who love representing us. And that kind of comes back to the whole over-politicization of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what progressives love to do. They love to politicize everything. That way they can divide us and make us divided into these different groups. And it's kind of sad. Another example was our pole vault athlete, Katie Nagyoti. I think
all
is
these
how you
names,
say her name.
Yeah.
I know. I want to say her name because, you know, I want to give her the recognition. So in track and field, I'm not sure how many people have competed when you do the pole vault. She was the last one to go, and she made the vault for gold. So she had won the gold medal. So she goes to the sideline, and the coach goes to offer the flag, and she says, no, keep it, keep it. And immediately conservatives start, you know, going into her. Oh, here's another one that hates the Olympic flag. Mm-hmm. When actually what she was doing is, even though she had vaulted the highest, she's still allowed to go back and raise the bar more since she cleared her vault. So she set the bar at the record and wanted to go try and go for just the overall record. And what she and it's sad because I saw a post later because, you know, after she didn't make that vault, she went back and grabbed the flag and, mm-hmm. and wrapped herself in it. But she had to go back and make a post on her social media saying, hey, I told him to keep the flag because I knew I was going to go for another vault and I didn't want to set the flag on the ground. And how sad is that, that we as conservatives are so keen on attacking somebody that we don't even see the whole story, you know? And that doesn't do well for our winning the hearts and minds of people that were so keen on patriotism that this Olympic athlete who obviously loves our country, who wanted to wrap herself in the flag and actually wanted to show respect to the flag by not setting it on the ground, had to come back and defend her actions.
Well, don't you think, though, Alan, it's because of what started with Colin Kaepernick,
mm-hmm.
and just the way the media has held these people up that hate America. And I think many of us have been shocked at this. And so finally, and that's what happens, is that you finally get to a point, you've just kind of had it, and you make a mistake. You're not looking at the whole picture then. And that is, again, I think something they want us to try to do instead of being objective. Mm-hmm. And boy, that's a great point.
And it kind of comes back to, you don't have to have a hot take on everything, right? You know, the Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro, they have this policy that any mass shooters, they're not going to even write their name. You know, they won't even give them that press. They won't give them that time. And I'm not comparing one to the other whatsoever, but I'm also saying, you know, why do we have to comment on Colin Kaepernick all the time? Why give him that space in our mind? Why give him that time to even talk about him? You know, let's just not talk about these athletes. Let's talk about, you know, the people who do love our flag. Let's talk about, you know, the NFL player who, you know, Tillman, who gave up the NFL and volunteered and went overseas and was killed during duty in combat. Yeah. Let's talk about them. You know, let's talk about things that matter. Let's talk about things that can unite us, as opposed to talking about these athletes who are really only there to divide us.
Well, and that is what the big fight is here in America, really, is are we going to, and Lincoln realized this, is the country going to be divided? A house divided against itself cannot stand. And those that want to divide us, we have to say no to them. But so many people are glued to, you know, the morning programs where they just push all of this. And Steve, was it one of our guests, was it Grotius, Dr. Grotius yesterday, who said, quit doing all the video games, quit watching all the mainstream media. How about read the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and start there? Because I guess the question was, we were asking you about college kids. And I thought that was really good advice, Steve.
Yeah, it was Dr. Grotius, and you couldn't see me on this side of the glass. I was kind of jumping up and down, because that's what I've been saying for a long time. A nation who's more concerned about dancing with the stars, you know,
is dancing with trouble.
Dancing with trouble, yeah. And when Grotius said that, I think, oh my gosh, that's it.
Okay, hey, let's go to break. Always goes so quickly when you're in studio, Alan Thomas, and I love it because you challenge me, because I'm now lost out because I didn't get to see those stories. I wasn't watching when they accomplished that in real time, and
well, luckily we live in an age where there's YouTube and recorded, all of it's recorded, so
I'll probably cry when I look that up now. Hey, we're going to go to break. Alan Thomas is in studio. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
From the mountains to the prairies to the...
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. You both have me laughing with what we were talking about during break. So, Steve, you said the dancing with the stars. We said you're dancing with trouble. And then what you said, take a look at those that are watching Dancing with the Stars, take a look at the gas pump, right?
Yeah,
Steve?
Their reality now hits them right upside the head when they go and get gas. And even my little four-cylinder Nissan filled it up with a 11, maybe 12-gallon tank, and it was almost $35. And I think, and it used to be 20, 22, something like that. So their new reality is when they go to the gas station.
Well, and Alan, I didn't know this. You said that people are being very creative.
Yeah, and I saw a video of people printing out stickers of Biden pointing and saying, I did this, and they put it right next to the price on the gas pump. So
Americans are creative. We are Americans, and that is what is so exciting about this. Now, I'm going to try not to mess this up, but Reagan had told this joke about two men talking. One was an American and one was a Russian, about the difference in their countries. And the American said, well, I can go right up to my elected representative. I can go right up to my president, and I can put my fist on their desk and say, you're not doing a good job representing me. And the Russian says, well, I can do that too. He says, really? He says, yeah, I can go right into my president, and I can go in and I can put my hand on the fist and I can say, the American's president isn't doing a very good job either. So,
yeah, I mean, that's exactly kind of the point. You know, we are a beacon of freedom to many across the world. You know, there's a reason why protesters in Cuba and Hong Kong are flying the American flag. It is because we are this bastion of freedom. You know, we're very unique in thousands and thousands of years. We're the one government that was literally founded on this idea and this principle, and we shouldn't shy away from showing it, even if showing it is in a different way than you and I would want to, right? Even if it means putting up athletes who don't agree with the U.S., because in the long run, the world sees them and says, wait a minute, they're criticizing their government, and their government's not doing anything. Why are they criticizing their government? They must be really ignorant about the freedom that they actually have in that country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other point I was joking around with my wife about was, you know, there's a very long history of defections in the Olympics. You know, what country doesn't want an Olympic athlete competing for them? You know, if somebody doesn't like their government and wants to come run for me, why would I say no? You know, mm-hmm. they might win me a gold medal. Mm-hmm. So you see these athletes that we have out there that are protesting the U.S. It's like, you know, you can defect to Russia. You can defect to you know, some of these communist nations. They would love to have you, but you wouldn't have this freedom. You wouldn't have this voice and this platform that you have here in America because you mm-hmm. wouldn't have that freedom in these mm-hmm. other countries. And we need to not lose sight of that goal. And that's the difficulty with progressive politics right now, right? They like to show us this shiny object and bring us down. And what's the quote? Like, don't argue with a fool because he'll drag you down to his level and beat mm-hmm. you with experience. Well, that's what progressives are doing now. They're showing us these shiny objects. They're showing us these topics that can get our hot takes. And instead of us being focused on the long term, on the higher goal, and as opposed to showing people freedom and being kind about it and being persuasive, we're getting angry and we're getting upset and we're offering our takes on these issues, and they're beating us with experience because they know how to better craft the message around these things. But they lose whenever we start talking about freedom and the human condition, and we need to stay focused on that, and we need to stay focused on fighting the long game and showing people, like, hey, you want to protest the flag, go ahead. I think you're pretty ignorant doing it, but go ahead and protest the flag because this is the one country where you can do that.
Alan, as you're talking, because I did see that President Trump had kind of gotten into Megan Rapinoe, or mm-hmm. And that, hey, you guys, you didn't get the gold medal, and, you know, kind of, even I was a little uncomfortable with that because I don't like to try to
cheer against your own country.
Well,
right?
And hit people when you know. And so as you were talking about this, I'm thinking he could probably maybe have nuanced that a little bit and said, you know, it's very unfortunate that the women's soccer team, that one of the leaders on the team has decided to take this stand, and it's unfortunate that they did not get the gold medal. And because they've taken that stand, some people have turned this off. But I want to highlight this story over here of a true American and then give the story of this gold. I'm just thinking from a messaging standpoint, there's an opportunity.
Yeah, and you know, there was actually an opportunity within the women's national team. You know, a lot of people just tuned in and didn't turn on the game because most of the women were taking a knee before the game, mm-hmm. you know, in protest. Well, at the bronze medal match, every single woman took a knee except for one. Except for Carly Lloyd. She stood during the beginning of the game. And you know, we talk about individuals and individual liberties, and we're boycotting a team when we had this opportunity to support Carly Lloyd. You know, we had this opportunity to say, hey, look at this individual. Look at the freedom she has to stand
and
up on this team.
And the courage to do it.
The courage to do it in the face of all of her teammates. You know, I've played team sports. That's peer pressure at its greatest.
You got
You're
it.
In
yeah.
the trenches with these people. And you know, we need to highlight that. We need to highlight that, yeah, you have these individual rights, you have this individual responsibility, and we need to be able to support them. And you're exactly right. We could have supported Carly Lloyd and not even brought up Megan Rapinoe's name.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For sure. Hey, Alan Thomas, it is always so great to have you in studio. It goes way too quickly.
It always goes
And you
too quick.
Always challenge me. I know that I'm going to learn something whenever you're in studio, so thank you.
Well, I love being here. Thanks for having me back.
Okay. And you can find Alan's op-ed. It will be in this week's newsletter, so be sure and sign up for that. A woke Olympian can only be a free Olympian, and then that will be on the website as well. Our quote for today is from Carl Lewis, and he said this, "Life is about timing and overcoming difficult things." So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.